This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back-to-back shutouts is what we've seen so far in the American League Divisional Series between Detroit and the Guardians. The Guardians were on the good side for Game 1, 7-0. And then yesterday on the downside, 3-0 as Detroit was able to come up with that big three-run homer in the top of the ninth inning. So this is where we sit. They'll play again tomorrow at 3:08 as the scene turns to Detroit. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. Let's turn to our good friend, longtime friend, always a great read, and you can catch him every day in the Chronicle-Telegram. He is Chris Ostenheimer. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ossie, always a pleasure to see you yesterday.
What's up, Chris?
Yes, good to see you yesterday, Andy.
It was...
I didn't see you, Jeff.
And you, you, Chris, yes.
Everybody was there. He was sitting next to all the whole crew. Petrak was right next to him.
I don't have, like, big-time, you know, friends who have season tickets that I can rub shoulders with, like Andy. I'm just a working man.
I was with Chris in the press box. What are you talking about?
You're being humble, Jeff. Uh-huh. You could have been up in that press box. You would have been allowed in for sure.
Thanks, Chris. That's nice of you to say.
See, he's the gatekeeper up there now. We're good to go.
you show up at the door and you go, three knocks.
There you go. All right, are you ready to make the – are you taking the drive over to Detroit, my friend? Just go get ready for game three here?
Yes. Okay. Actually, as soon as I hang up with you, I'm heading there.
All right. Well, be safe on your ride up there. Your thoughts on yesterday's game, because there's a lot of second guessing going on.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it overall is going into that game, if you're realistic, you're thinking that there's not a real good chance that the Guardians are going to beat Tarik Skubal. You know, I know they got 10 hits off him in that one game that he pitched against them and only one run, whatever. But I'm not going crazy over that because you probably didn't expect to win that game anyway. But on the other hand, you didn't have to beat Skubal to win that game because he was out in, what, 7 innings? So you had 2 innings to actually just win that game and you were in position. So that's the other hand you can look at. But if you just look at the start before this game even happened last night, you're thinking it's a loss. Yes, it would be nice, you know, and it's not a given that Skubal's just going to go out and win. But you're thinking you're not winning that game. So this is kind of how I thought the series would go back to Detroit, and here we are.
Andy and I tried to get cute earlier and, you know, second-guess Stephen Vogt. We went through six scenarios from yesterday's game where you might be able to second guess the guy. we couldn't do it, Chris. We just thought he made moves. We understood the moves. They just didn't work. Would you second guess anything he did? Not, you know, not bunting with Jimenez at the plate and with David Fry at the plate, which would have given you two outs, moving the guys though over though, and then Clase going for four outs, bringing him in the eighth. Would you second guess anything?
Yeah, I second guess the big move that he made.
The Clase move?
Yes, I understand why he made it, but I turned to Scott Petrak last night when he went to make that move. I get it. You want your best pitcher in the mound, and you can defend it that way all you want. But fact is, he did that maybe once this year.
It was once.
Yes, and it was in August 20th, and it's like, why rock the boat? Just let him come in. If you're going to bring him in, which you're going to, if the game's tied, bring him in the ninth. Don't mess with it. It's been a thing the whole year long. You know, postseason comes along, they mess with it. I'm not saying that's why Class A wasn't sharp last night, but still, just ride with what's got you there all year long. The bullpen's been your strength. And the way you've mapped it out has been perfect all season long. And then for some, and again, I get why he did it. I just, that would be a move I would second guess.
Yeah, we understood why he did it too. It just, right. It didn't work. But I wonder, would you have stuck with Gattis? Would you have brought in Andrew Walters? What would you have done?
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's like, well, who gets that? Maybe Gattis,
Just let him go another guy?
Yeah. One more
or
out.
Or pitch to Riley Green, maybe, instead of walking him.
I get you. It's easy to second guess afterwards, when it doesn't work. You're thinking Class A's coming in there and he's going to do what he's done all season long. And it just didn't happen. And it's just baseball. You can point to so many things in that game, but fact is, 0-0 going into the ninth inning, and you got to take that. With Scooble on the mound,
let's push that forward. Do you think he would do it again in this series?
No, I don't. And
I'll bet you're
and
right.
I know he would say he will. And he could. I just don't think. I think, okay, well, I tried that. There's no use. I don't want to try that again. Let's just go with one inning. I don't know. Maybe he has so much confidence in Class A that he thinks that was just an aberration and that he can do that. It would be one thing if he could point back to he's done this multiple times this season. Well, he hasn't. So, I wouldn't rock the boat. So, and I don't think he will either, but, I'm not sitting in his chair.
Alex Cobb, game three. Yay or nay? Good idea?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what else, the other option was starting Gavin Williams, and I don't think, and then, having him go two innings and see where you're at with the bullpen. They wanted to make sure that Cobb was healthy enough to do this. They gave him every opportunity to make the roster, and I guess he checked all the boxes. He's a veteran. He's been on the mound in the postseason before, albeit, 11 years ago. He's still at least been there before. And I think that's the great thing about this bullpen, If things go haywire early or if it looks like he's not going to be able to do it, then they got reinforcements out there, especially with this off day. I think that's the no risk move there is going with the veteran who isn't going to go out there, like a Gavin Williams who's never been on the mound in a postseason before, and he at least knows what to expect when he gets out there. Now, if the finger's not an issue, which it appears not to be, he's been really good. And it's not an arm problem. So when he's been healthy for the Guardians, albeit three starts, he's he's been good. It's just he hasn't been able to get over the finger issue, and that's it's never dogged him much during starts. It's just always afterwards.
I don't mind Cobb at all, but I do wonder. Boy, it's interesting that Ben Lively was left off that playoff roster.
Yeah, I'm not. There's a lot of people who think that he was kind of reaching. You know, 30 starts. I don't think he's done that ever in his career. And I think that, you know, he did show signs. He was inconsistent in the second half. But I wouldn't have been shocked to see him left off the roster. I get it. If you're not going to start him, he's not a guy you bring out of the bullpen. I understand that. But I still thought he would have made the roster. And because at the very least, maybe as a long guy, they have long, you know, over Cantillo at least, you know, it's at least a reward to this guy, but I guess you're not worried about rewards in the postseason and things like that. But I just don't think that they thought, they just didn't trust him as much as they did a veteran Alex Cobb. And, you know, Lively's another guy with no postseason experience.
How do you sell it to your clubhouse now? So you're Stephen Vogt. You're like, okay, it's 1-1. Now we're in a best of three. And by the way, boys, I mean, I know things didn't turn out right, but, I mean, they've gone scoreless. Detroit has 17 of the 18 innings. I mean, it's hard to see that when you lose the way they did yesterday, but that's really the reality of the series.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. And, we said the series was going to come down to the Guardians' bullpen, or at least from Cleveland's standpoint, and it didn't start out too well last night. Your starting pitchers, they weren't Tarik Skubal, but yeah, Bibee basically shut them down, and Matt Boyd, I probably would have allowed Boyd one more batter, you know, to get him five innings. But, you know, whatever, that you're turning over to your bullpen as quick as you can. I mean, in this series and the rest of the postseason. So, yeah, I mean, they got shut down one offensive game. I mean, they scored seven runs game one. They got shut down game two. Of course they did. They were facing the Cy Young Award winner. So, you know, game three, we'll see. I mean, they have had a consistent offense, an inconsistent offense, so that concerns me a bit, but as long as they get this pitching, and it has been great outside of one inning, one performance. So you got to feel good about that. And just, you know, let's see if they can just get back to what they did in game one with their offensive approach.
Did it stun you, surprise you, not surprise you at all when Terry Francona was hired in Cincinnati?
Not at all. I mean, I think that the relationship between the front office and Tito, and it's tough to imagine because they were so close and so tight for so many years. I think that when the front office decided that they weren't good enough and they traded everybody off when they were a game out, I don't think that sat well with Tito, and I think that's the first time they really butted heads on a major issue. And I don't think he was ever going to say that in health issues. And I'm not saying he doesn't. I mean, you listen to him, he battles health issues. Like, it doesn't matter. He's always battling health issues. So I think that he always intended to manage again. And he may have said that I would only be here, that I would want to do it. But I thought the minute that he retired, there was no way he wasn't going to manage. It's been maybe a little quicker than I thought, but, you know, not so much, because I thought he would take a year off and then be back in it the next year.
Chris, Guardians win the series, yes or no? We got 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
Yeah, I think it goes five, and I think they do win back at home. But I think it goes five. I think they split in Detroit, and yeah, it's going to go five. And I think and that place will be crazy electric if it does.
It was a good crowd yesterday. It was a good crowd for game one too. It was fun. It was a good feeling to have that feeling while you're at the ballpark. Chris, as always, thank you very much. We appreciate you, and we are always reading you every day. Why? Because you are a great read, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Chris Ostenheimer from the Chronicle-Telegram on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Talk a little bit more about the Guardians. Plus, we're going to get a perspective on Deshaun Watson you may not have heard yet. We'll have that for you next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Interesting interview happened this morning in D.C., Jeff. Jonathan Allen, defensive tackle for the Commanders, who just saw the Browns on Sunday, was on our sister station, 106.7, the Fan in D.C., and was asked about facing Deshaun Watson.
Interesting.
Especially to hear from a guy who was on the field.
Yep. Do you remember when Deshaun had his media last week and he was asked about Jaden Daniels? And he said he's a guy who looks comfortable with what they're running.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I thought that was just interesting. And I was so hoping somebody would have followed up and said, are you comfortable with what the Browns are running? Because, you know, you brought in a new offensive coordinator and everything else. Nobody did. Maybe when he speaks tomorrow, maybe we can get something like that.
Do you agree with what he said? Do you think he played that way?
Well, it's got to be something, Andy. I mean, it's either a confidence issue. It's a non-comfort with the offense issue. It's a you've been away from your peak for so long, you're never going to get it back. You've had so many off-the-field issues going on, you're distracted. Whatever it is, he's clearly not the same quarterback right now that he was in Houston. And, you know, that's a shame. He was really good in Houston. The one thing that seems to be a carryover from his days in Houston is that he hangs on to the football for a long time and gets sacked a lot. If that's part of his gig and part of that is what makes him successful, well, okay, that hasn't carried over here yet.
It makes you wonder, and based on what you said at the end, and I would say this is true of any quarterback, it's not just Deshaun, that if a guy hangs on to the ball too long, how long before his offensive line is going to break down on him every time? And, you know, you talked about the frustration Deshaun has. Could this offensive line that is already just banged up from injury, how frustrated are they with him? Now, Deshaun had a play on the sidelines. I want to say it was second quarter where he kind of got bumped out on the sidelines, and I think it was Joel Bitonio that just got there as fast as he could to protect their quarterback and defend their quarterback. So, I mean, I notice little things like that, but I, you know, and times when a guy's on the ground and he doesn't get helped up by his own offensive lineman, that's one that worries you. Now, I didn't see that in the game on Sunday, but what I did see is the offensive line rushing over to make sure he was protected on the sidelines. So, I that was a good thing. They also showed you the one shot of him at the end of the game when his teammates were coming up to him saying, it's going to be all right, don't worry about it, right? We saw that too. Again, I always warn people when they watch a game, like if you think Kevin Stefanski's head or any coach's head is buried in their play card, you're only seeing a 4 or 5 second cutaway shot of them. That doesn't mean they're doing it the entire game, yet we all want to say that. That and instant replay is the other one too. They're like, look how much time yet. I'm like, you're watching slow-mo, dude. That's not the way it is in real time. I can't tell you how many times I've had it. That's like a weekly conversation with people. You're watching it in slow. Oh, yeah, I am, aren't I? Oh.
You need to hang out with sharper people, Andy.
Oh, because no one says that. No one's ever said, look how much time he is. And then you're like, that's slow motion.
I don't recall ever having that conversation with anybody.
You mean, never once had that conversation with anybody?
No.
Oh, wow. You?
Just that phrase on the end, he looks lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks lost. Lost. That's coming from a defensive tackle in the league.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He looks lost. Wow.
Had stuff going on above the shoulders.
Wow.
Maybe that was settled yesterday.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the distraction is gone now because he was able to
settle the last case. What the Browns signed up for. You know, and we talked about that earlier. It's not just the contract, and it's not just the trade assets. The Browns have also been very tolerant of all of this other stuff that they knew they would have to deal with. I mean, there are three things that have been huge when it comes to Deshaun and the Browns.
How about the fact Jonathan Allen said he's not as athletic as he was before?
Well, not many guys are after that many years in the league and that many hits.
And surgery.
Don't you think, though?
I think that's accurate. It goes back into the investment, you know? And it's just you want this thing to work out. I know I sound frustrated when I'm talking about this because I am, you are. Yeah. And you know what? I'm sure Deshaun's frustrated, too. Yeah, and I'm sure the coaching staff is frustrated, too. That nothing is going right for them. And your defense is playing mediocre right now. Your offense can't figure it out. 0-for-12 to start on third down. That stat will haunt me for the rest of the season. You have to be more effective on third down. All it would take would be twice. Get two first downs on third down, and now you're being effective.
Andy, you're being really specific on this, and I can't blame you. That's a terrible stat. It's not working right now. I mean, everything. Third down, fourth down, second down, first down. Nothing's working right now. They better figure it out, or you know, we're going to have
situations. Or the trade deadline's going to be, you see new names by the end of the season, or you're going to see a lot of practice squad guys here.
There'll be a lot of different things happening.
Or you're looking at more draft picks. Drake is in Cleveland. Hello, Drake.
How are you doing today?
Good. What's going on, man?
I think the Browns are just in a bad place right now. They still have the talent to do exactly what we thought they'd do before the season starts. It's just they have to bear down. They got to cut out all the noise. They got to start, you know, stop letting people injecting negativity into their circle. And they just got to do what they've been trained to do, what they've been training to do all year, which is execute. That's what they haven't been doing. We can talk ad nauseum about whose fault is it, who did this, who did that. We're not seeing any execution. That's what we all know. We're not seeing plays being executed. We're not even seeing plays being anticipated. They're just pretty much like their mom is making them do this, and they don't want to do it. So I just think they just have to bear down and, you know, depend on each other. Cut out everything else.
get back to the basics. I think everything will be cool.
I got an idea. Drake, let's send him to the Greenbrier, get him away from everything, and then bring him back on game day.
Ooh.
No? It's just a thought.
Andy, stop there. Andy,
what?
Stop there so petty.
I'm petty? What am I being petty about? Look, I want them to turn this around. Jeff is right, and I'm trying to think about this all week. They're just two games back in the North. They're just two games back. If they can figure it out this weekend, 2-4.
Maybe.
It'd be a gigantic win this weekend against Philly, right? It's just the farther they get into the hole, the harder it is to be optimistic about the rest of the season. Thank you, Drake. Let's go Zach in Cleveland. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. I'm definitely calmed down a little bit after that loss. And obviously, you know, the guard didn't really help yesterday anyways, but that's besides the point.
No.
You know, we got three more tries at this one. So, but to the Browns point, I haven't watched much film, I guess, if you want to call it, but I haven't seen much of what Josh Allen and Ken Dorsey did last year in Buffalo, but I know it wasn't good because he's not there anymore.
And was let go during the season.
Exactly. It's looking very similar to what's going on now. Maybe it's too much. I don't know if it was on your guys' show or maybe it was earlier this morning with the morning guys, but I heard a caller say that there's just too much going on, too much motion, too much moving around for these guys to comprehend what the actual goal is, and that's getting a successful play. And you got 12 guys on the field, or you got guys lined up in the wrong spots. You see Deshaun moving the running back left and right all day long, and it's maybe it's just too complicated. Maybe we need to simplify it. It was simplified. They simplified it for PJ Walker, and he won a couple times last year, but that wasn't Dorsey's offense. Ken Dorsey, more like C-door-10. Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Wow. Zach, did you have to write that one down, I wonder?
Sorry.
That was really good.
He was good.
Zach, I think Zach's really has an interesting point there. Andy, isn't it strange to watch the offense look so discombobulated? When he talked about, you know, Deshaun moving running backs here, moving guys around, and people seemingly lined up in the wrong spots and everything else. I agree with him. That's been the strange thing to me. It's like, guys, did you not go over this in practice numerous times? There just seems to be a lack of connectivity. It's just not clicking. And that's really weird. You know, if you line up and you're running the plays and you're good to go, that's one thing. But, man, when it looks like, I mean, visibly looks like you're not all on the same page, that's an issue.
All right, we'll take up more phone calls on this. We're also going to get back to the NFL at 1 o'clock when we do our NFL rapid fire. When we come back, though, open jobs at universities, and they don't have anything to do with being in the cafeteria or being a vice provost. What am I talking about? We'll explain it when we come back. Yesterday, there was a ruling that happened that the NCAA and the Power Five conferences – they reached an agreement that's going to try to end this tradition of amateur, that will end the amateur tradition in college sports by allowing athletes to get paid straight from, you know, colleges, universities. So there was a class action lawsuit, as we've all heard of. It's House versus the NCAA, and it still has to be approved by a federal judge overseeing the case, and that could be a few more months away. So I'm just kind of reading along. NPR did a great job of trying to explain this to me, because I don't know who else is going to explain it to me better than them at this point. So the settlement has two parts, and it would distribute some of the $2.75 billion to athletes who competed before July of 2021, when the NCAA first allowed athletes to earn money from NIL. Then it creates this future revenue-sharing model in which schools will be able to distribute around $20 million per year directly to their athletes. But there's a lot of
20 mil
a year. So I believe the Power Five, just the Power Five is what's covered here. The ACC, the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC. And they all voted to approve the proposed settlement to pay the athletes. So that's who's going to get covered. I mean, it's a lot of money to distribute. How are they going to distribute that money for the past athletes? And what does this look like in the future with that? 20 million seems light, doesn't it, for these Power Five schools? Like, it doesn't seem like that's how much they can distribute every year for some of these athletes.
How much you want to pay the 19-year-old who's third string.
Why should their age matter how much money they make?
19-year-old third string athletes.
If that position garners X amount of dollars, you should get paid for it, same as any other job in the United States. Yep. Why are we belittling the position?
I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying. I think it's loony. I do. I think it's loony. You think things are chaotic now? Imagine what's going to happen when you start paying these guys.
Well, they are. I mean, they're already making lots of money. I mean,
no, not everybody, Andy. Not everybody's making a lot of money.
There's college football and basketball players. There's plenty of, a lot of these, the kids are making money on social media. I mean, there's money to be made out there.
I know that.
I mean, look at how,
I know that.
Look how Caitlin Clark changed women's basketball in this country. Or the whole,
I understand that, but you're going to the folks who are making a ton of money right away. It's the kid, the 84th kid on the football team. Should you pay that kid?
Well, he doesn't exist because you can't have 84 guys. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you can.
53.
That's the NFL.
That's NFL. It's 80.
Right. So
you're right.
The 84th kid on the football team.
You're right.
I mean, where does it stop? I'll tell you where it stops, when people quit going to college. I mean, if you're trying to send your kid to college, you're taking out loans. You're financially strapped. It's expensive to send kids to college. And yet the colleges are going to have to take more money and give it to athletes. And along with scholarships and everything else,
so here,
I think it's insane.
Here's where I don't think it's insane. The colleges can sit here and negotiate deals with television networks and bring in billions. Why shouldn't the entertainers be paid for what they're doing?
Which entertainers?
The players on the field.
How about the people who are on the crew team? Do they get paid?
Does the crew team have
television
network?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'm sure you can find crew. Yeah.
I'm sure they put crew on there.
So if those athletes decide to go, but yes, if they want to pay, they're more than welcome to.
Stroke.
So you're belittling crew.
What's that position pay?
The market will dictate that.
Andy, I think it's insane. I think the whole thing is insane.
I think it's insane that athletes who were playing these games were watching universities make millions.
Well, they're not anymore. Now they're getting paid.
Well, okay.
And NIL is not what I naively thought it might be, but I just think it's insane.
I don't disagree with the fact that you and I probably agree on this, that it was fair to assume that a college football athlete, if they were getting a full ride scholarship, all their books paid for, their room and board, I mean, just everything paid for. To me, with the way we grew up, we felt like that would be a fair and equitable distribution of funds. I've always felt that way. But the problem was that behind the scenes, kids and families wanted more, and they were getting more under the table. And it was not only hidden from public view, but it was also hidden from taxable income. I mean, we all have to pay our fair share of taxes, and if we've got to pay taxes on money that we're bringing in, why shouldn't college athletes have to pay taxes on that money that they're bringing in, too, above the table? So I think when I look at it as, I don't have any problem with these players getting paid. I don't. And I know it does sound silly, Jeff. I when you say these things, I look at you and I'm like, Jeff's right. I don't get it. I think we want to play the games because we believe in the sport and we believe in all the great things that you can get with athletics that can mold and shape young women for the business world when they hit it later on in life. But that's just not the way it's been for years, and now everything's above the table. And I don't know, and if they want to pay someone to be on the crew team because they're the best crew team that's ever been in existence, and somebody wants to televise that and people want to watch it, they should get paid for it.
Just saw something that popped up on the screen that said that Ohio State is eliminating scholarships for men's gymnastics.
They didn't have many already. I know that.
Why would you do that? I mean, they've
I can tell you
historically
how it used to be.
Had a terrific men's gymnastics program.
And I can tell you in the 96 Olympics, when they sent three guys and Peter Corman as the head coach, they had three full scholarships for the men's gymnastics team. The women's team had like 9 or 10 going into that. And we had Olympians on partial scholarships going from Ohio State in the 96 Olympics.
Now, your men's gymnastics team isn't going to make a ton of money. So I think where this is going is just, it's as simple as this. It's just going to be a different level of professional football, of professional basketball, maybe of professional baseball. And then the other sports of the school are going to get, and I also think this, it's clearly going to be the other level of professional sports, and then you're really going to have college athletics.
For Division II, Division
III? You're going to have Division II, Division III.
I agree.
Who are clearly in college playing a sport, as opposed to this upper echelon of these folks who are getting paid. And I wouldn't be surprised if this happens, Andy. Okay, they're throwing money at it like crazy right now. And I'm just spitballing this. At some point, these colleges are going to be throwing all this money at these kids, and then they're not going to get a return on it. And what happens in business when you don't get a return on your investment?
Business goes away.
That's right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you have 40 teams playing college football who are paying athletes. And then you have, so the super conference is there. And then after that, you have college athletics.
Agree. Yeah. I'm with you.
So I think it could lead to, you know, like what we've seen, the chaos with all of the different conferences. I think it gets worse when you start paying these kids.
I just don't think were there 70 schools that were involved in this yesterday? What were we talking about, 70 schools? What was that conversation we had just a few moments ago?
That's a different animal that's floating around.
All right, so whatever. You have your Division I. Yeah, you have your Division I, and then you have... Here's the other part that I don't have a problem with, is that it seems like, especially in college football, that because of NIL and because of the transfer portal, that players who are good players that aren't playing aren't staying at those schools. They're going somewhere else where they can play. And that's how you get Vanderbilt beating Alabama.
The one thing,
I don't think that's bad for the game.
The only thing I do like about all this, okay, we have a rich alum here at fill-in-the-blank university. Let's say Illinois. We're going to go out and get a quarterback, and we're going to pay him to come here and play quarterback. And that's good. Spread the talent around. Rather than have, you know, Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow stacked up at Ohio State, make one of them have to go find a different school.
Jeff, who's on a 6-game winning streak and is atop the Big Ten right now?
Illinois.
Indiana.
Ah, darn it.
You were close. Not really. Illinois is 1-1 and 4-1 overall. But Indiana, a team that we traditionally never think of as a football school.
Well, they have rich people in Bloomington, too.
I'm just saying, I don't necessarily think this is all bad. I do think it's wacky, and I do think we need to kind of rethink the way we think college athletics, but I'm willing to see what it looks like when it's all said and done. So, all right, 216-474-0092. When we come back, we're going to do a little NFL rapid fire.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.